With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This week, Guitarnerds is sponsored by Solid Gold FX. Solid Gold FX are a Canadian effects pedal powerhouse making boutique goodies that we at Guitarnerds really think are worth a spot on your board. Across the board, Solid Gold FX offer high quality, originality and affordability with a range so comprehensive that there is definitely a pedal that they make that you, dear listener, should purchase. Looking for fuzz? Well, there are 8 different fuzzes in their range. From the dual tone bender circuits of the communication breakdown to the modulating polyphonic octave down synth fuzz of the Lysis. And of course, it doesn't stop there. There's so many cool, interesting, unique effects. The countercurrent, a momentary feedbacker and delay for 8-track garage rock ambience. The Funkzilla for a super controllable ultimate envelope filter for rhythmic funk quack. Check out solidgoldfx.com for more information on their entire line of pedals. Guitar Nerds is sponsored by Reverend Guitars, and we are very happy about that because we really love Reverend. Well-built, affordable, unique, extremely cool, retro with modern sensibilities. Recently we've had a Jetstream 390 and a Greg Koch Gristlemaster sent to us from Merchant City Music in Glasgow, and we've loved them both. The Jetstream is a gorgeous Reverend original jaggedly shaped retro offset with 3 specially voiced P90 pickups and a deliciously roasted maple neck. The Gristlemaster is an oversized T-style guitar with the incredible sounding Fishman Tele pickups, a Firebird style ramp and a tonal palette so broad you'll never need another guitar. Seriously, their range is massive. Choose from a fantastic spread of bolt-on set necks, basses, and unique signature models. If you love guitars and you love this podcast, then I'm afraid you're going to need one. Check them out at reverendguitars.com. And welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Matt Knight.
Hello there.
And Jay Cross.
Hello, everybody.
Yes, that's right. It's the three of us today. And yes, welcome to another episode of the Guitar Nerds Podcast. It's been a fantastic week. We put out our first ever survey for Guitar Nerds 2020 listener survey to get feedback and help us improve the podcast, and that
and
is
the
still...
survey said, is that what we're going to do? We're going to do a family fortunes type thing.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing.
I think that would be a great one for a potential future quiz.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Oh, that is a fantastic idea. Is that the one where it doesn't matter if the answer is right or wrong, it matters how many of the
how many people
thought
said
it was right.
Yeah,
exactly.
How many. Yeah, we'd have to think some good guitar-based ones, but we could go out to
mate,
the group.
That is a great idea. A seriously fantastic idea.
There's a bit of legwork involved in that.
Oh, no, I'm happy to do it. This is a wonderful idea. Because, of course, one of the things that was brought up quite unanimously in the Guitar Nerds... Oh, wait, are we going to talk about that stuff yet?
Yeah, or, I mean, you know...
I'll mention this one thing. I've started, so I'll finish. But
That's the wrong quiz, mate. Wrong quiz.
Wrong quiz.
Yeah, one of the things that people were saying quite unanimously so far, of course, the quizzes, the survey is still there for
listeners to go and answer, and I'll give you a link for that. It'll also be in the description of this podcast. But one of the things that was quite unanimous was a return of the quiz, or at least an increase in the frequency of the quizzes, because of course we used to do them every 25 episodes, and this is episode 275, so it would have been perfectly placed for a quiz, but because we're Packhamless, we've decided to hold that off.
The big problem that we have with the quiz is it takes a lot of work to put together, and you know, frankly, because I kept winning, I just didn't have the time to continually put these things together and come up with new questions.
I quite like
the
resetting.
The burden of being a giant brain.
Jay and his big brain.
But no, in all seriousness, thank you to everyone who has got back in touch and has filled in the survey so far. Just because Joe didn't really explain what was on the survey for people who haven't seen it. Basically, we're just looking for feedback on what you think about Guitar Nerds, what you would like to see from Guitar Nerds moving forward, and just bits and pieces like that, really. So I think you have got a link where people can get to it, Joe, and we would just really encourage everybody to, you know, it's only like 10 questions or something, right?
It's probably less than that.
It's like a 5-minute exercise. So if you do have the time to fill it out, it would really help us out just because we have basically hit an impasse of our own rational thought, and we need other people to tell us what to do.
That's exactly what it is. But yes, the link is in the description of this podcast, unless, of course, you are listening to this on Spotify where you don't have links. So the URL is bit.ly/gnsurvey2020. Sorry, I could have definitely made that shorter, but you know, that's the link in the description of this podcast as well.
And,
so
and
check
that's
it out.
Bit.ly?
bit.ly/gnsurvey2020. That is the one. So check it out.
And it's on the it's like at the top of the Facebook group if you are in that as well.
And on all of our social channels as well. So, yes, listener, do check it out. That would be fantastic.
But, yeah, most podcasts say, please go onto iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, you know, rate and review, blah, blah, blah. Don't do any of that. Don't worry about any of that sort of stuff. Just go and fill out the survey.
We're already the best.
We're already the very best. Yeah. Like no one ever was.
On fire on that front. Also, we should introduce our new patrons for this week, as we always want to do. A big old list of them today. So first of all, thank you once again to Samuel Frost, who has upgraded again for the second week in a row. And welcome to the executive backer tier, the $10 tier. Samuel Frost, your name will now be sung from now on. Welcome also to Michael Barnett. And also to Modium Modius, who is also joining us on the $10 tier.
That's a great name.
That is a good name. Thank you very much, Modium Modius, on the $10 tier.
What's going on? Why are all these people?
I don't know.
Something happened.
I'm not sure. Thank you also to Matthew Spencer, who has upgraded, to Kai Down, who has joined us, and to Yogi the guitarist, who has also joined us on the $10 tier.
Oh, fantastic.
We are very, very close to the mod mode target. So I think actually over the next couple of weeks, I'm actually going to have to put together what we're doing for mod mode, because suddenly it's actually a reality
I think it's worth just taking a second to appreciate Yogi joining us at the $10 tier. That's really good. People in the Facebook group will be familiar with Yogi the guitarist as the person who puts expensive guitars on his staircase and then takes photos of them for our horrifying pleasure. I can't look at those photos because it gets my palms all sweaty. It's watching someone do a tightrope walk. Just, you know, a bit more realistic. It's horrifying. It's absolutely horrifying. I don't know how he does it.
Yeah, it's very unsettling. He's also got a fantastic YouTube channel as well, actually, which is thoroughly worth checking out, dear listener, if you're interested in the incredible range of awesome guitars that that Yogi has.
Yeah, I've noticed his lessons he's doing something that I've not seen anyone else do, actually, which is worth a shout out. He's playing a bunch of licks, but he's then visualized it on a fretboard and then done the animations of where your fingers go on the fretboard. Because sometimes when you watch a guitar player like play a lick, they're like, learn how to play this lick. I'm like, I can sort of see what the fingers are doing, but I can't really work it out. And then he's actually done like a proper little guitar animation with little dots that follow the notes you should play. So it's been really good to like see that and actually like work out. I mean, I'm never going to use my ears to learn a lick. Come on, I want everyone to do the hard work for me. And then I just want to sort of fluff around it for about an hour and then go, bored of that. So yeah, it's definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been trying to improve my guitar playing this week. I was given from my sax player the guitar tab book for Songs for the Deaf.
Nice.
So I'm going to be trying to work my way through some of those sort of weird, all the Josh Holmes stuff, which is always so like Jimi Hendrix turned on his head sort of style guitar work. So I'm going to be trying to work.
What do you mean by that?
It's just like he talks about it. Josh Holmes talks about how a lot of his stuff is Hendrix inspired, but then he'll play through Hendrix progression and then move the last three notes up a semitone, so that it sounds wrong.
Okay.
And that's kind of his method, is he'll create conventional music and then move something in a place where you're not supposed to move it. So he, in essence, he creates his own sort of mixed scales that he works from as a backbone, which is bizarre, but exactly the sort of bizarre that I would like to get better at doing.
The only thing I would say about learning Queens of the Stone Age songs is you learn the riffs, but you just... it's so difficult to nail the sound.
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah, that sort of incredibly mid-pushed, like Cox War.
Yeah, one of the great videos I remember watching on that on YouTube, I think was Sound on Sound magazine. I think they met the producer or the engineer, and he was just like, right, we're going to reverse engineer the sound that I created for Songs of the Deaf. And he's like, we use this kind of like crappy guitar and these crappy amps, and then... this like I think it was a Boss PQ4, which is like a parametric EQ. It's like just boosts all the mids, and then he plays it and you're like, wow, that sounds exactly like the record. But yeah, it's a really interesting watch, because he definitely has one of the most unique guitar sounds, I would say.
Absolutely, like tonally it's super bizarre, but I also think note choice as well, super bizarre as well. So
let's
see if I can actually learn any of it.
And that record is written, it's a concept album about someone taking the drive from Los Angeles to the Joshua Tree. Which we did, and put that record on. And it was amazing. Yeah, because obviously when you listen to the record, they scan through a bunch of radio stations and stuff, and the idea is they're heading out of LA into the Joshua Tree. Because I think the studio it's recorded, or the guy from Eagles from Death Metal Studio is in 21 Palms, 29 Palms, 21, where Joshua Tree is. And for a while, I think you used to be able to just go to the studio. It was just open, Rancho de Luna. You could just walk up to the door, and then I think so many people started turning up. They were like, please go away.
We're not going to do this anymore.
Oh, that's awesome. That is incredible. Now, this week... we've also got an exciting announcement for listeners to get involved. If you're on the Patreon, you can get involved there, or join us on Facebook, or on our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/guitar-nerds-forum. We're going to be teaming up with Guitar Assembly, a wonderful Yorkshire-based organisation who offer luthry courses. They build and design instruments from scratch. They sort of create from the ground up custom shops, but also, and completely for free, on their own website, they have a range of articles to help you improve your own guitar maintenance. So everything from, you know, I don't know, fret leveling to something else. You know, there's a massive range of articles
that guitar luthiers do.
Yes, another thing that guitar... But it's really good. It's actually a really good resource, and it's really nice to have all those things in kind of in one place. Certainly for me, whenever I'm setting up or teching a guitar... you know, if I need to do something that I'm not confident doing, I'll try and find a YouTube video. And a lot of the time you're scrolling through, God, just a load of people trying to film what they're doing on their phone and talking incredibly slowly. Or, you know, it's very difficult to find a good quality video and sort of get through the dross. So it's great to have this all these articles in one place for you to read and really improve your sort of your teching at home, which is rather lovely. But they came to us recently and were like, hey, can we build a Guitar Nerds guitar? And I know we did this before with Balaguer guitars, and of course we ended up not ordering that. So I thought this time I'd really like to do it, but I'd also really like to get you, the listener, involved a bit more. So why not build a guitar based on poll decisions? And
it's a terrible idea, Joe. I'd like to put it out there. I'm putting my. We can't trust these people to do anything.
Yeah, this is very dangerous.
I barely trust you, let alone these people who are listening to this podcast through choice. Like I listen to the podcast just because I accidentally got involved once. I don't know what the rest of these people are doing.
Just turned up every week and suddenly had a job.
They could just turn off.
You just kept coming to my house for dinner.
I missed that. Anyway, so we're going to be building a guitar based on poll-decided specifications from both our Facebook group and our Patreon community. And the thing with guitar assembly is that they design guitars from the ground up. So we're not just picking from a list. So we need everyone's help a bit more kind of before we go to the polls, before we have a few options. So before we do anything else, because bear in mind, we've got a lot of things to decide on how to build a guitar. But before we do anything else, we need a shape. Now, the shape. Now, you know us, listener. The shape doesn't have to reinvent the wheel, but it would be great to have something with its own unique edge. So we're asking you, dear listener, to submit guitar body shape ideas. And you can send them to our email at info@guitarnerds.net, or you can pop them on the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitarnerdsforum, or any other way you'd like to get them to us. We're looking for, things that will be modifications on functional, classic shapes, but, very much make it your own. And we can take any quality. We're not looking for CAD drawings of any of these things. You can do it on the back of a napkin if you like. I'm looking for inspiration. Then we're going to select kind of the four or five that we think are the best. I'm going to render those into proper CAD drawings, and then we're going to pass them back to you, dear listener, to decide on a poll. But it would be wonderful to get you involved. Obviously, this is going to take a little while because we've got a lot of things to decide. Headstocks, body woods, neck woods, neck profiles, pickups, finish. Well, we know what the finish is going to be, but there are a lot of things to decide. So yes, it would be wonderful, dear listener, if you got involved. And then I think next week I'll see what we've got, see how many of you have sent us things, and next week I'll see if I can I can put something together and whether or not we can move on to the next step of this. But I think this is going to be rather fun. Don't you, everyone?
It could turn out an absolute disaster. I can't wait to see like a glasses shaped guitar that's pink with like some sort of like terrible headstock and then like a mixture of body woods.
Yeah. We're absolutely ending up with the Homer car, 100%. That's what we're gonna get something. We're gonna be like, yep, this is the one. This is absolutely fantastic. And then it's gonna show up and it's gonna be like, oh no, this. Why did we put a bubble top on it? What were we thinking?
Yeah, it has the potential to be bad. But anyway, check out Guitar Assembly, dear listener, at guitarassembly.com. You can also find them on all their social channels. So do that, give them a follow and check out some of their cool luthery courses where you can build your own guitar for like less than $2,000, which is kind of fun. Anyway, moving on to some stuff that we've done. Matthew Knight, you've done something quite odd for you this week and purchased another effects pedal.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say do some work, so I thought you were going to talk about some videos. but that's fine. Or you can also talk about the new pedal, the last thing I'm waiting for, I guess, this lockdown. I sort of look back at my... I think I might post... maybe I'll do a live stream on the Facebook group or something and talk about the changes of my guitar rig since lockdown. Wallet somewhat lighter. I bought a wicked new pedal which I saw Jackson from Dip Switch Demos demonstrate. Couldn't find any other information anywhere, so reached out to him and then reached out to the company through him. It's Dr. Scientist, which is a company we don't talk about very often.
Have we ever talked about Dr. Scientist?
I think we may have talked about them before when they did the... I want to say it was called The Atmosphere. I'm just going to double check on their website real quick. That was the one.
Their website is absolutely fantastic.
Yes, that has a little spaceship flying around. It's Atmosphere was the one that had a full coloured screen on the front. It's like a compact sized pedal, reverb, multi reverb pedal that had, yeah, full coloured screen in it. Like crazy, just looking, you know, totally sort of forward thinking sort of design. And, I think apart from that, we probably haven't talked about too many other pedals. People might know the BitQuest. That's their sort of 8-bit sort of modulator. The Fraz Dazzler, the Elements.
Fraz Dazzler?
The Fraz Dazzler. I thought one of the great things they did was the Spectrum Analyzer, which basically you run your entire guitar chain through it, and it just shows your guitar signal in a series of lights. It doesn't do anything. Which I thought was, yeah.
Come on, Matty. None of this stuff that we talk about ever actually does anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's be serious.
So I saw this pedal and I watched the demo and I was like, this thing sounds amazing. This is the Dusk. So it's their digitally controlled analog filter. So it's basically a 12 dB low pass filter. And all you need to think about for this sound is synthwave, 80s. VHS, neon sunsets.
It's very just, VHS in
it
its
is.
Graphic.
It's very like, I'll play a chord on my Juno and then I'll sweep the filter. It is that. And I just heard it and was like, I need to have that pedal. One pedal I actually really miss, I had a Moog Freakbox, which was their sort of oscillator with a really good filter on it. And I liked having those sort of big filter sweeps for guitar sounds. And I heard this and I was like, This sounds wicked. And I like the whole vibe of the pedal and everything. And yes, there's other similar things like the Condor from Chase Bliss, but this was solely based around having this low pass filter that was, again, all digitally controlled. So it's got a MIDI in, so it can have presets and stuff, which I really like running it on my board with my ES8. And I spent a bit of time with it the weekend, and it's great. It's got like a fixed filter mode, which you can press one of the pedals and it will sweep down. So you can get these like big sweeps of your sound. You run it with a delay. It sounds amazing. There's like an auto sweep. So you can have like a sine wave or a square wave or have it random. And then there's an envelope filter. So the classic sort of Mutron sort of funk thing.
This is fantastic.
Which I also enjoy because I love Parliament Funkadelic. So I've got to have the old school Bootsy... you know, sort of envelope filters. And the sound alone sort of won me over. And in fact, it's got MIDI, tap tempo and all of that. I was like, great, $199.
That
totally
is,
sold.
Wow, that is wonderful. I mean, I was like, oh, I wonder what the price is going to be. Because of course, like the that reverb that they did, that was like $400, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. So yeah, it doesn't have like the big screen on it or anything like that. Super simple controls, just filter, resonance and... volume, but really fun. A potential gear of the year for me, I think. That was
really wow.
Yeah, just it was. We don't try too many pedals that sound like this. I think by itself, I mean things like the auto filter and stuff you would use if you're doing that sort of, you know, funky type thing. But I think the like big filter sweeps and stuff sound really great when you pair them after a delay. So you can have like, you know, a really nice delay, and then you can hold the button, and then the whole thing like sweeps down really nice. Slowly. Yeah, it's just that like amazing synth wave type thing. So like at the end of your signal chain, it's wicked to kind of add a whole new tonality to your guitar sound. So yeah, I was really, really impressed with that.
Very cool.
I'll try and do some demos for it soon. Like I said, I might do a live stream on the board, I think.
That would be fantastic. The Dr. Scientist Dusk, dear listener, do check it out.
And just another quick shout out there for just echoing what Matty said. Friend of the podcast, Jackson from Dip Switch Demos.
Yeah.
Like, really, really nice dude. He's in the Facebook group. And, yeah, he's just been, like, throwing loads of stuff at his YouTube channel recently. And he's just wicked. Like, his playing is really, like, tasteful. He's, you know, it's not
Plays
just,
music
like...
Man.
plays the music. Yeah, he does all sorts. Yeah, no, he's great. He's just like really nice dude, and I really recommend checking out the channel.
In fact, there's a extra reason to go and support him right now because unfortunately he broke two of his fingers.
No.
So he hasn't been able to record any new content just as his channel was okay, really starting.
In that case, don't worry then. If, if there's nothing new, if there's nothing new, then I'm just not interested.
So yeah, I think he was, you know.
How did he break two of his fingers?
I can't remember. It was on one of the videos he put out.
He broke them on a video.
No, not on a video. Yeah. Yeah.
People will do anything for likes nowadays.
I broke my fingers. How do you think I'll play? Click to find out. Yeah, so he's...
It was that new 12-fret spread chord he was doing.
Yeah. So he's struggled to kind of, you know, put some... He's been putting a bunch of new content out, which is great, but obviously playing guitar is not something he can do at the moment, just as his channel was finding its feet. So definitely go and find him and support him now, and definitely worth doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We can't all produce fantastic guitar content without ever actually picking up a guitar. So, yeah.
That is what we do. Well, actually, speaking of demos, Matt, you did some for me for us this week. You've been sending through some. You've been doing some solid gold effects demos.
Yeah. You sent a bunch of them through, and I was like, I've tried to shoot demos before, and I don't know, can never kind of. Not find the inspiration, but just sort of, I struggle like with, I guess, like red light syndrome in the fact that it's just never good enough. I'm never pleased with the way it ever comes out. And I'm like, I don't know how to film it top down. You know, I'm not really one for like lighting stuff very well. And I was just like, right, I've got a little mobile phone stand, which I bought off Amazon for a couple of quid. And I'm using a Go Mixer Pro, which is a little mobile interface. So it's USB out straight into your phone, gives you 9 inputs for your phone. And I was like, I just forget all the complicated stuff and trying to run it into Logic and then pairing it up with video. I was like, I'll just shoot it on an iPhone. I've got an iPhone 11. So I was like, camera's going to be pretty good. And I just went line out from a Nextone, just dialed in a decent clean sound, plugged the guitar in, pedal into the front end, and then just line out. From that into the Go Mixer, so it's a nice interface for the phone. And straight away I was like, this sounds great, I could play it for ages and record a bunch of stuff. And it was actually really nice to just hear everything through headphones and just kind of like really sort of like find a few riffs to play. And the pedals were great. So I did the Lysis, which was their polyphonic octave down fuzz modulator.
Oh, I really like that pedal. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I went into it unlike my usual self, and I didn't read any manuals. I thought I'll plug it in.
What?
I'll twiddle some knobs. I'll see what happens. And this one was great. It was kind of like, I liken it to a really super aggressive fuzz pedal into a Pog, but then having like a Boss VB2 vibrato or something sort of. Like shoved at the end of the signal chain,
being able to sweep that filter at the end. Because were you doing that with an expression pedal?
Yes, yeah. So this one takes an expression in, so you can sweep the filter, you can set the modulation time, and because the octave is polyphonic as well, it's got that sort of slightly chorusy sound about it. You know, it does track really well, but when you've got loads of fuzz, it sort of freaks out a little bit. Just a really interesting pedal. I think that you could kind of, I think you could actually potentially, if with an expression pedal, you could probably have it on all the time and then just like sweep in the filter when you wanted it. Definitely weird, definitely wonderful, and something that won't be like anything else on your pedal board. So I really enjoyed having that on there. That was the first one. Did the Apollo 2, which is their sort of 12-stage phaser.
Yeah.
Which is quite good. I think this
now
one...
we got sent some of these from Solid Gold, but that one's actually mine.
Yes.
It was a gift from Blake Wyland of the Tone Mob.
Ah, yes. Because I remember you saying this wasn't one of their newer ones. It'd been around for a while. What I thought was interesting with this one was you had a 10-position rotary control, 11 positions, but 10 different waveforms and a manual mode, which basically was a frozen phaser that you could then manually sweep.
Yes, which is exactly what I want.
And then you had like a kind of weird 1-2-4 switch, 1-2-4 switch, which was speed, different modes for the different phasers, tap tempo. Just a really great phaser, really fun, really interesting. Then we also had the 76 Plus, which is one of the new ones, which is an octave up fuzz and filter. And I thought this one was my favorite one. This was had a real sort of crazy sort of octave fuzz sound, but really usable for like riffs, for lead work. It reminded me a bit of my sort of Boss FZ2, which I really love. But then you've got a kind of like a modulator on there, or like a filter that I was then sweeping with an expression pedal.
It was absolutely gorgeous. I thought your work on the 76 Plus was fantastic.
It sounded really good. I just really like the fact that you could have an expression pedal plugged in, use it as a normal fuzz, kick in the filter, and then you've got this wicked filter that you can sweep on with the expression pedal. Again, loads of switches on the front for different modes, shaping, clipping, and color, which kind of all adjusted the fuzz and filter tones.
Versatility seems to be kind of the cornerstone of Solid Gold Effects.
Yeah, absolutely. Really, really enjoyed that. And then was there one more?
The communication breakdown.
Oh, the communication breakdown, yes.
Which was my favorite.
Yeah, so this is like two tone benders in one, or two in tone bender inspired fuzz pedals, going for that sort of Jimmy Page, Led Zeppelin sort of mid to late 60s fuzz tone. I always find this one is a little bit more difficult to dial in. Obviously tone benders aren't like super super fuzzy, but they normally, or should I say back then, obviously a lot of those sounds were recorded into really cranked amplifiers, so slamming the front end of
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sort of Fender Tweed amp or a Marshall Plexi or something like that. But one thing I really loved about it was running one into the other. You've got a 1.5 tone bender and a Mark II tone bender. And then one into the other just gave you this kind of like ZVEX-esque Fuzz Factory just madness. I actually thought the first one, which is the 1.5, was great to have all the fuzz all the way dialed down and almost just use a sort of like a mildly broken...
Yeah, like a sputterbox.
Yeah, like a rhythm tone almost. And then you can kick the other one in and have like a full-on crazy sort of, weird, glitchy fuzz. But all just incredibly versatile. Like you say, I think that's really the name of the game.
Yeah,
with all of these. And they have a bunch of others in their lineup that are worth checking out. I think the Spanish Castle looks really good. If Six Was Nine, which is based on an old sort of Hendrix favoured fuzz face. They do the octave fuzz, so the 76 part of the 76 Plus as an individual pedal as well. There's loads of great fun stuff. And again, a brand we probably haven't talked about a lot, but we definitely, I think, we'll be talking about a lot more in the future.
Yeah, they make some really fantastic stuff. In fact, the Bass Deluxe, which is their sort of preamp stroke drive pedal, has been on my larger bass board for quite some time as I actually use it as a treble booster. It's like a, it can be used as a preamp or a drive, but I very much use it to just sort of slam all the top end into the front of my amp before it hits, a big sort of woolly 300-watt amp. They make some absolutely fantastic stuff. Now, actually, just before we move on, Matt, I have a gift on its way to you, courtesy of Marcus Deluxe, who, listener, you can check out if you don't already. on Instagram if you search Marcus Deluxe. That's Marcus with a C and Deluxe, D-L-U-X-E, all one word. But Marcus Deluxe make fantastic, like, rustic, relict pedal boards. And we've had a few. We gave one away in the Big Pink giveaway, and I've shared pictures of them on social elsewhere. We've talked about them a little bit in the past. But as you said, Matt, you were using this little, this little phone stand. So I've had to make a little one pedal vertical pedal board in pink. In relict pink with a little shelf on it, so you don't have to Velcro the pedal on. You can just sit it on in the same way that you did. So that's winging its way to you.
More demos to come.
Yeah, I also can't believe the price of Marcus Deluxe pedal boards. They're so affordable. So if you just want a fun, cool, sort of rustic pedal board, they're a really good option.
That's actually a really cool idea for a product, because there's so many people in the same situation as Matty. Or people who are trying to do it a bit more seriously, no offense, Matt, people like Jackson or whatever, who need that sort of thing. You know, there isn't really a good option. There isn't really a good way of doing it, because if you have a pedal on a board, it's so easy to get distracted by other pedals that are on the board. So it's a really smart idea for a product. I think that's really cool.
He's made me one before, but I had it made Velcroed, and the problem with that is, and certainly I think this actually applies to people, that this board is almost very much designed for people who either own pedal companies and want a display at a guitar show, or people who do demos for a living, because you don't want to put Velcro on a pedal that you've been sent, that you've got to send back.
Exactly.
Having it as a little vertical shelf is actually a fantastic idea. Just a really smart product, I think. I think I actually first saw, because I had the Velcro one, but I think I first saw Stuart Tate with one with a little shelf at a guitar show made by Marcus Deluxe, and I was like, oh yeah, that's a fantastic idea. But yeah, a little pink one on its way to you, Matty. That would be
very cool
indeed.
Apologies for turning a discussion about pedals into a discussion about pedal accessories there.
Yes, exactly. Anyway,
love it.
Should we dive headfirst into a big old barrel of news?
News.
First up, why don't we stay on the topic of the same brand that we've been discussing, Solid Gold Effects, and let's talk about their new Oblivion Flanger, which is brand new, released last week. It is absolutely ridiculous. So we're talking about flanger. Jay, this isn't your favorite effect by any means. Flanger's definitely
Joe, it is one of yours, and I care about your interests. Yeah, and so I'm excited to hear about this pointless pedal that you're about to talk.
I would actually say flanger is always the pedal I've struggled with, the type of effect I've struggled with the most.
This week, Guitar Nerds are teaming up with Echoline Pedals to offer you a £10 discount voucher across their entire line of pedals. This awesome range of British-built boutique effects boxes have been a Guitar Nerds favourite since we first discovered their gloriously transparent overdrive, the Roadrunner, 5 years ago. Recently, Echoline Pedals have relaunched and expanded their entire range, now available in a more compact, pedal board friendly chassis, and with an unbelievable pre-discount starting price of £119. Still handmade in the UK using the finest new old stock and top quality components, Echoline's range of drives, distortions, fuzzes and boosts are some of the sonically best pedals we have ever heard. They come with a full Guitar Nerds endorsement, and we strongly recommend taking the plunge on one of these boxes. For details and to shop online, check out echolinepedals.com and use discount code ILOVEGUITARNERDS at the checkout for £10 off any pedal in their range. Guitar Nerds is brought to you in association with Faith Guitars. Based right here in the UK, Faith Guitars are designed by British guitar luthier Patrick James Eggle, who has been hand-building guitars for decades for some of the biggest names in the business.
Founded in 2002, Faith Guitars have been voted the UK's best acoustic guitars 5 times in a row by both the public and panels of music industry experts, so you can be confident in your new Faith guitar. Like all quality acoustics, Faith guitars are made of all solid tone wood, so you can be sure they'll start off sounding great and improve year on year. Faith don't use laminated woods, but you'll be pleased to know that despite the all solid tone woods, the superb specification and handmade construction, Faith guitars are still affordable, with prices starting at around £450 or $600. Discover the range at faithguitars.com and then visit one of the many UK or European retailers to try them for yourself. But hold up! If you're in the USA or Canada, you can buy direct at faithguitarsusa.com. And by using the coupon code NERDS at the checkout, you can get an exclusive 10% discount. So, in the UK and Europe, check out the guitars at your local dealer or faithguitars.com. But for North American listeners, buy direct at faithguitarsusa.com and use the coupon code NERDS for a special 10% off at the checkout. That's USA coupon code NERDS at the checkout. Faith Guitars, award-winning acoustics designed right here in the UK. One of the most popular Ernie Ball Music Man models, the John Petrucci Majesty, is being expanded with 4 brand new striking finishes. Now offered in Pink Sand, Red Phoenix, Smoked Pearl, and Ember Glow, the 2020 Majesty features a lightweight Akume body, signature Damasio Rainmaker and Dreamcatcher pickups, and an onboard piezo bridge system that gives the guitar a focused and highly versatile palette of tones. Head to music-man.com to learn more. That's music-man. Now, back to the show. For me personally, I think that's because Flanger went through a bit of a weird thing that happened to it in the 80s. I think when you look at kind of Flanger and how it was used early on, when it's used as subtle tape manipulation, I love it. I think it's a fantastic alternative to the cheesiness of Chorus. But of course, when you accentuate it, it can pigeonhole itself very much. And I do feel that Solid Gold have been very well aware of this, because this is actually a quad flanger. So they've tried to make something that's capable of literally everything and also of kind of redefining the effect and what it can do. So it moves way further into sort of synth-esque territories as well. In fact, Knobs, fantastic YouTube channel. Obviously, listener, you probably know about Knobs, the YouTube channel, but you should check it out. And they've done a fantastic video on the Oblivion and what it's capable of, and kind of explaining flange and the variants of it and why this is so fantastic. But what the Oblivion allows you to do is essentially what it would have originally taken 5 different tape machines to achieve. But of course, you can also use this in a very traditional sense, which I actually really liked it for. But it kind of has three flanging settings, and then for each of those flange settings, they have a degrade switch, which allows you access to this kind of lo-fi, this very unique to each type of flange, lo-fi, synth-esque, very much a degraded sound. This is absolutely a sort of flanger come synth pedal that's incredibly complex, like all sort of Solid Gold effects really are. So I thoroughly recommend watching the Knobs video, just because they did such a good job.
I think a couple of features that really stand out for me on this ramp feature, so you can set like a momentary sort of speed up or slow down by holding the tap tempo switch. That's something that you get on the VB2, or was more sort of you saw a lot on the there was a TC pedal that came out which I think was also their vibrato, which had that kind of rise feature.
Viscous vibe?
Maybe it was
vicious
vibe?
Was it viscous or vicious? I can't remember.
I think it was viscous.
Yeah.
And there was another vibrato pedal they did, which I think did that. Potentially, I can't remember the exact one. But also, I like the fact that there's also a stop control on there as well. So you can also just stop the waveform or the ramp in its... While it's playing, which is similar to a Leslie, I thought that was quite
cool.
Yeah,
that was good. I was just about to say that feels more like a Leslie than it does a
yeah.
Does a
I think what's interesting with flanger is, and I like what you say, Joe. They've done with this, and they've kind of got that degrade feature. They've got the sort of madness in there, but a lot of the times, a lot of classic what you would consider chorus sounds are actually a flanger. Andy Summers from Police, a lot of his stuff was, people go, oh, it's chorus. It was actually flanger, because it obviously does a very similar thing.
It's the same core principle. It's just different times, isn't it?
It is, flanger, yeah. Chorus. And, you know, I think you can actually get some, like you say, some really fast, almost Leslie-type settings out of it as well. So it can actually be way more versatile than both chorus and vibrato. And definitely phaser, because phaser, to me, has the most defined... sound, I think, in terms of what it does to your signal. I think flanger, you hear a lot more of your guitar signal through it, and sometimes that can sort of be a bit off-putting. Sometimes the effect to me doesn't seem as kind of strong as others. But I like the fact that there's, with all the other stuff that we've talked about, loads of crazy features on here as well.
I love that it's... I love a versatile pedal, so it's great that this is capable of everything from old-school flanger to sort of, you know, super crazy modern synthy flanger, and also a load of dip switches inside that you can, so you can further control the tone of the pedal.
So, sorry, can I just stop you there? What, when you say old school flanger, what do you mean by that? Because I don't really know what you mean.
So I mean the sort of sounds that you popular Lee could get out of the Strymon deco, which was obviously their tape deck simulating pedal. So you could go, you could bring everything right down to a very slow flanging sound. So that very slow sort of delay to the second signal, which kind of sounds like someone's pressing their finger against sort of the tape as it's running round. So it's just this slight manipulation. It almost sounds as if you're listening to a slightly warped vinyl. Like, it's not too much. It just adds texture. It adds some warmth, which is, of course, you know, pressing the tape machine is kind of where all this came from. And that's what I mean. I mean, like, a subtle thickening of tone rather than a crazy sort of, I'm in space but underwater, which is kind of what, you know, flanger has become known for. I think it's one of those effects that where less is more.
So I'm obviously, he's not here to tell us about it, but is this like a George Martin thing then? Is it the Beatles? Is that where this came from?
No, I think for me, the most... Well, Jay, you probably don't even... Well, maybe neither of you might know this reference, but the one that always stands out for me, which millions of people would have definitely heard, is Life in the Fast Lane by the Eagles. There's a real clear bit where you hear the sound do this massive swoosh between two parts of a song, and that's what's called zero through flanging, so where you slow one down to the other and then the signals basically can't go out of phase, cancel each other out, so there's almost everything's being sucked into a black hole and then come out the other side, so they go back into phase. And that's through zero flanging, and that's done by more extreme manipulation of the tape. The early stuff, I guess...
I always think of Voodoo Child as being sort of the quintessential, the start of flange.
Yeah, I guess maybe a little bit of that. I think loads of people were doing it in studios for, you know, years. So I don't know if there's there is obviously a start point. It was probably a mistake, as most of these things are. I think the story with the fuzz circuit was... guy who was like a country guitar session player.
If you listen to that track, it's also fantastic.
Yeah, he was doing a session. I think it was the bass, wasn't it? Oh, that's the bass. Yeah, and
he'd built his own desk. He built his own desk, and yeah, the channel strip that the bass ran through had broken. And they loved the sound, as it was fantastic.
50, 60 years on, we're talking about a fuzz pedal where you can run two fuzzes into another and an octave up and a polyphonic octave generator and get as far away from that slightly clipped bass sound as possible.
Yeah. Yes, it certainly has progressed somewhat. Mm. Yeah, anyway, yes. So, yeah, the Solid Gold Effects Oblivion Flanger. We thought it was very cool. Next up, Jay, should we come over to you?
Sure, yeah. So I wanted to have a quick chat about this new pedal that Electro-Harmonix have brought out. It is a compressor. So Electro-Harmonix have brought out... This new control knob static expression pedal, which I think is very, very cool. So essentially what this is it is a two position expression pedal that you can switch between. So if you have got a delay pedal or some sort of modulation pedal that has an expression out and you don't want to have a big expression pedal on there, you just want to have two positions which you want to be able to switch between, this will do that for you. I think this is a very, very cool, really simple, really utilitarian bit of kit. This is exactly the sort of thing that's right up my street.
Is a great idea.
It's fantastic. It's fantastic. And, you know, this carries on from all of the other kind of, utilitarian, I guess, is the word. Like functional pedals. Like, obviously, I was a big fan of the Tri-Parallel Mixer. We talked about that a lot during Gear of the Year last year.
You totally talked me into that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and then Matty bought one. So you know,
it's true.
And I think this is obviously a little bit, probably a bit more. Actually, maybe not. You know, because I think a lot of people use. There's a lot of people out there who've got expression. Pedals that have the expression out on there. The thing that's really good about this is it's just a mini pedal. Sorry, Matt. I know that that's not your favorite. Your foot is still the same size.
It's fine. I can get behind it with something like this.
So you've just got, it's just a mini pedal and they're $39. I mean, this is a cool thing to have about just if you want to, you know, if you don't want to have a massive expression pedal going on the side of your board, you can have this just to mess about with.
I can see someone like Nick Reinhardt like quick switching between
switching between two different like repeat speeds or switching between two like. I think what would be cool about this is having like having one set really fast and one set really slow, and then just like pulsing through. You know, you're like the ramp of a pedal.
So I've actually got a pedal that already does this same thing.
Of course you do.
Yeah. Is it Bright Onion?
No, there's another company called Looperwerk, which we talked about after Guitar Summit very, very briefly last year, which effectively does the same thing. And I run it with my DM2W. The cool thing about an analog delay is...
it will ramp up in that like organic way.
It doesn't just quickly jump. It's almost like you're turning the delay knob. So it's almost if you leave the feedback at a point where it's almost oscillating, but not quite enough, and then just go between the slowest and then almost the quickest delay. Actually, like it's almost like you've bent down and turned the knob up, and it just suddenly goes all crazy. It's wicked. Sort of idea for just fun stuff. And going back to the solid gold stuff, you know, that pedal with the filter and going between two different filter states or two different modulation rates, I think it's a really cool, like you say, just sort of utility product I think anyone can stick on their pedal board.
Yeah, I absolutely love this sort of thing. And it looks really cool, like really simple. Really simple design. I'm all about this. I think this is a really, really banging little product.
Yeah, very cool indeed. Well done, Electro-Harmonix, adding something else fun to the kind of the utilitarian marketplace.
Yeah, and not another compressor.
No, exactly. Now I want to talk about LT Custom Guitars, this small boutique guitar brand from Sussex in the UK, so just round the corner from us.
What?
Really?
Yeah, where are they?
I know. Yeah, I don't know. Sussex.
Oh,
somewhere.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
Sussex. Yeah, but LT Custom Guitars. So they're another one of these custom shops that design guitars from the ground up. So there is, you can do absolutely anything with them. And then, you know, they're fantastic, wonderful, often very modern, but recently a signature T-style guitar has come out of them. You know, very woody in sort of that respect, as a lot of modern guitars tend to be. Or certainly a lot of modern boutique guitars. But they have recently introduced, which I think is quite interesting because a lot of people seem to be doing this at the moment, a kind of stock custom shop, like kind of a half and half, where you limit the options that you give people. And in so doing, you offer a very reasonable price for a completely boutique instrument. So they're introducing the Pioneer, the P1, which starts at, well, it starts at, including a hard case, $1,599. Which I think is an incredible price for a UK-built custom shop. So the Pioneer is very much their sort of take on a Super Strat body shape, but it still comes with lots of options that you can edit. So you still have the opportunity for customization with two choices of body, neck, fingerboard, matching headstock veneer, as well as a choice of which way around the headstock goes. So there are 16 options in total that you can go with for how the guitar ends up. Fantastic. So we got sent one recently, which I've been having a play on. Comes with these Hartshorn humbuckers from Alchemy Pickup. So a pickup company that I haven't, you know, heard of or had any interaction with before. But, you know, fantastic, gorgeously bright, very dynamic pickups. The guitar smells fantastic, by the way. That's a big thing for me. Smells great, but like Hipshot hardware, you know, everything about this is very, very premium for an instrument that's only sort of, you know, well, I say only, I appreciate £1,600 is a lot of money, but for a custom built instrument, I think it's an absolutely fantastic price and a really cool guitar. So I think this is a player's instrument. This is very much a functional player's guitar with some lovely little quirks. I'm into this, you know, whilst obviously I'm very much more traditional. I think for kind of people who would find things like the Charvel DK24, people who would find that sort of an instrument appealing, I think this is a fantastic alternative with way more customization, you know, specifically for you.
So I've just had a quick look on the website and they actually are in Burgess Hill, which is about a 20-minute drive from us. And in fact, they are just off of Junction Road in Burgess Hill, which is a road I know very well because it is used to house a pub called The Junction, which is this place where Mark used to put on gigs all the time, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And and it is one of the first places that I got served as well. So that is holds strong memories of going there and buying two pints of Scrumpy Jack for £1.20 or whatever ridiculous price they were. And then obviously not remembering the show because I was 15 or whatever. The Junction, which unfortunately is no longer there because it did get set
closed
fire.
Down for serving underage people.
There is that. Also, you weren't allowed upstairs because upstairs had been, I think upstairs had been condemned, and basically it was just like you weren't allowed to go upstairs. And if you did go upstairs to drop your stuff up there, you couldn't be up there too long because the floor might collapse. But the floor never did collapse. But it might. Yeah, basically, it closed down because they were caught serving underage people. And
Burgess Hill, ladies and gentlemen.
and then it got set on fire, and the fire crew got there to put the fire out, which clearly upset some people, so it got set on fire again a second time on the same day. And there was obviously some suspected arson going on there. But,
really?
Yeah. caught fire twice, which is
I can't remember if this is the case, but I think it was in the book and film adaptation of Children of Men. By the way, the film adaptation is nothing like the book, but I'm pretty sure one of the things they kept in common was that at that point in the future, Burgess Hill had been turned into a giant prison for the whole of the UK.
Really?
Yeah, I think it was Burgess Hill. I'm sorry, Burgess Hillians, if it wasn't Burgess Hill. It may have been somewhere else, but I'm pretty sure in the book and the film adaptation it was. But
yeah, played a... just going back to LT Cussing Guitars, they are... Right, they're in the midst of UK punk rock history being just off of Junction Road there. Oh, and cool, apologies for doxing you if you didn't want me to say where you were from. I literally just went off the address on the website.
Well, then that's fine. Matt Knight, let's talk about Reverend.
Let's talk about Reverend, indeed. So the thing I like about Reverend is I like Ken Haas. He's the guy who's kind of one of the main product guys behind it. We met him at Birmingham Guitar Show, and he's just
he's coming on a Friday special soon, actually.
I know. He is just full of character and really drives this brand. And obviously Summer NAMM did not happen this year. It would have happened around about right now. And so they decided to hold their own virtual kind of NAMM launch, as it were, and announced a bunch of new guitars. So they had their usual booth display, which is kind of like this massive pyramid with guitars either side. They announced some new colours and a couple of new models, which I'll go through. But one quick thing, unfortunately, one guitar model that is only unique to, I think, Wildwood Guitars is they've done some in a fantastic blue sparkle. So I won't talk about them too much now, but you have to go onto the Instagram and check that out. It's pretty amazing. But yeah, they have got, I think it was four or five new models. So we'll start with the Reeves Gabriel's signature. So Reeves or Gabriel's, he is the guitar player for The Cure. So he's got a couple of models with Reverend. This sort of new signature features some newly designed Railhammer pickups. So Railhammer is also the brand that's sort of owned and run by Reverend. What I really love about these is you get a rail style pickup on the low or wound strings, and then you've got the kind of normal traditional pole pieces on the plain strings. So you get tighter lows and kind of really sort of bright and fat highs. Comes in three amazing colors. I guess this is there. I'm trying to work out which shape this is based off, because quite often, or is it one of its own? I think this might actually be its own shape. Kind of like a more rounded telly, I guess. More rounded sort of T-style guitar. Maybe part telly, part Jazzmaster. Kind of sort of offset in some ways.
Yeah, so I think this shape is referred to as the Charger.
Okay. So the usual specs you'd expect. Carina body, roasted maple neck, pinlock tuners. They've also got really nice Wilkinson trem on there, which has got that very claw tremolo, which I spoke about a couple of times, which gives you the option of two or three springs. But the way they've laid it out, you can either have a really firm or really loose feeling trem. Stays in tune like amazingly well. Six bolt net plate. So you've got kind of what they basically say is the two extra bolts of mounting pressure on the neck by 50%. So you get a better connection, which gives better sustain, tuning stability and neck alignment. You've got all of their sort of upgraded parts like pure tone jack, better pots, better caps, and just a really solid guitar. If you want a sort of a two humbucker guitar, this is the one for you. Plus that amazing bass contour control, which is something that it absolutely changes the entire like feel and sound of the instrument, which I've really loved, because you can go between almost, you know, like a single coil, or you can really boost it and you get this huge sort of humbucker sound. It's something that I'm surprised not more people do, but it's like having an alternate pickup sound almost on your guitar. So definitely worth checking that one out, especially if you want something that will definitely cover those clean sounds, since obviously he does play in The Cure, and then would also do some of those sort of hard rock sort of things as well. Comes in a nice orange flame maple, a satin midnight black, and a midnight black. So that's the first one. There is also the Ron Ashton signature Jetstream 390. So the
this
Jetstream
is very cool.
Yes, the Jetstreams are the kind of more pointy offset, same as the Matt West that I've got, same as the Shell Pink one that we've pushed in the Guitar Nerds before. So Ron Ashton is part of the Stooges sort of reunion band. I don't know how long he's been playing in the band, but I think he's been playing for some time. Basically, in 2008, all of their gear was stolen, including one of these, which I think they built specifically for him. So they've decided to sort of resurrect it. Nice sort of lightning bolt decal on the top. And yeah, just the three P90 pickups. Just a great guitar. It's in a incredible orange, rock orange. You know, nice original name there. But again, those three P90s, really versatile, very clawed trem, as you expect, Carina body, roasted maple neck, dual action truss rod, the six bolt plate, you know, the usual sort of reverend sort of look and feel. And I think the nice thing about this one, same as mine, is that sort of fretboard and neck feel, that roasted maple neck, just... it's just really, really nice. Just really smooth, really easy to play. And Carina body gives you all that sort of, you know, all the tones that you'd want from a guitar like that, but without being heavy like mahogany, for example. So that's that. They've also done a Pete Anderson PA1.
This is a bit different for Reverend as well. I mean, I know this shape already exists for them, but...
it does. So this is, I would say, their hollow body sort of Gretsch-inspired shape with their sort of retro blast pickups. I'm really into this. Comes in two amazing colours.
Excitingly.
Yes, Satin Emerald Green and Satin Mulberry Mist.
Yeah.
Mulberry Mist is their sort of pink sparkle.
That's what you want.
Yes. Very, very nice. I think this is great. I think this is these. I really like these. If you want an alternative sort of hollow body, really nice guitar, uses their what they call, it's a Carina body with a Carina brace. The brace is full body depth, so it connects the top and the back, so it reduces any feedback, but keeps, you know, plenty of sustain and clarity.
I love how they make the F hole split into three separate pieces.
Yes, yeah, it's a nice little touch. So the two sort of bits at the top are sort of not connected. It's a really nice sort of flowing design with Bigsby trem. Again, you know, locking tuners, all the upgrades that you could want.
This is a great... See, the thing that I've really like about Reverend and their sort of consistency is the fact that they managed to bring all those kind of modern sensibilities to quite classic-looking instruments. You don't have to make any of those sort of sacrifices that you do with so many vintage instruments. And even when you look at companies that make guitars today that are still kind of making them very much in a vintage style, whether you're looking at reissues by Fender or anything by Gretsch, really, you're still going to have to make those sacrifices. And the thing with Reverend is adding things, features like locking tuners to jazz guitars and things like that. These are modernized for everyday use, for modern use on a stage. With still all those awesome classic looks. I think this is a wonderful guitar.
Yeah. And lastly is the Bob Balch. I think I pronounced that right. Maybe not. Who is the guitar player for Fu Manchu. He's had a signature for quite some time. This is their sort of... it's kind of like an SG sort of shape, I guess, mm-hmm. in some ways.
The Sensei, is it called?
The Sensei, yeah. So really nice sort of like... it's like a flat top, but it's got some really nice contours. Almost reminds me of an ESP Viper, yeah. Which I always thought was...
it's got that offset thing with the horns going a bit like
yes,
the Viper.
Yes, it has, yeah. Kind of looks like a guitar that you want to tune down to like C, or maybe even B, and then play loads of fuzz through it. And they've done it in a 30th anniversary Venetian gold, so it looks very, very bling.
Very cool.
Again, all the same things, all Carina body, rail hammer pickups, These Railhammer pickups have got me really interested in sort of trying some out. I kind of want to try some in my baritone. Check their website. They do a bunch of different sort of styles. I'm like, yeah. I think
in your baritone?
Yeah, I've got a Rabia baritone.
Oh, so, yeah, of course you do, yeah.
Yeah, so I was thinking about maybe trying one of those in the bridge. I was also looking at, I was like, you know what would be great? Sustainiac pickup in the neck of a baritone, of the, because it's got a single coil, it's obviously got a hot rails in it, but single coil spacing and then a humbucker. I was like, Sustainiac.
I'm into this.
You can only buy them from Manson's. They are the distributor for I mean, so the Sustainiac website, I don't think has changed since the early 90s. and I didn't realize how expensive they are.
How much are they?
They're about £400.
What?
Yeah. For the complete system, I'm like, I think I'll pass. But I'm surprised they're not trying to do more of them. I think loads of people would add it as an option. Again, yeah. that makes the Ed O'Brien a really amazing option guitar to go for if you want a Sustainiac.
Does the Ed O'Brien still have a trem?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
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 I want more hardtail strats. That's what I want.
Do you, though?
Maybe I don't. Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe I don't.
Just a quick point there, though. The Ed O'Brien, it's a Fernandez sustainer. It's not a Sustainiac. Those are two different things.
That is true. Yes. I didn't think of that. Yeah. So I'll have a look for Fernandez sustainer, which I think is also equally as impossible to find.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They are. Yeah. Absolutely.
Just one other, sorry, Matty, a quick correction for you there. Ron Ashton, who you were talking about with that Reverend guitar, is not in the Stooges anymore because he actually died in 2009. But he was the original guitar player. So he was the guitarist on the first two Stooges records, so The Stooges and Funhouse. And actually, I didn't realise this. I just had a quick read of their Wikipedia page. So they broke up after releasing Funhouse, and they got back together in 1973, so 3 years after Funhouse, when David Bowie just basically got in touch with Iggy Pop and was like, please, will you come and can I please record an album for you because I really like your band? And right. They went, I guess when David Bowie calls, I guess you just got to go and do what David Bowie says. So they went over to London and he played bass on that record. And then obviously that was the kind of end of the Stooges until 2003, you know, just that brief 40-year hiatus for the Stooges. When they reformed, Ron was back on guitar. And it seems as though at that point he actually had moved over to Reverend, and it looks like he might have had a signature model back then.
Yeah, I think I was just having a look here, just again on the Reverend website. I think so. When they were in the reunion, he was playing this Jetstream.
Right. Okay. And so then, that would have been 2003 was when they got back together.
Apparently there was a reunion tour. Just the full thing here. 2007, the Stooges reunion juggernaut was in full string.
They're releasing a new record,
Ron Ashton was playing a Reverend Jetstream 390 in Rock Orange. In 2008, all the Stooges gear was stolen, along with their truck in Montreal. The Jetstream disappeared. This summer, we decided to dedicate the Reverend Jetstream 390 in Ashton's beloved Rock Orange to him as the Reverend Ron Ashton's signature Jetstream 390.
There we go.
A trio of lightning bolts, a decal that Ashton was fond of, to the upper horn.
So there you go then. And another like nice little thing there as well is I hadn't realized this, but yeah, so Ron, he was playing bass on the third album, and then when they reformed he was back on guitar. And I mean, this is just absolutely fantastic. He doesn't want to play bass in his band anymore. He wants to go back to playing guitar, so he gets in touch with Mike Bloody Watt. And it's just like, listen, mate, do you want to play bass in my band instead? I don't want to do this anymore. And Mike Watt's just like, yeah, man, yeah, dude, yeah, no worries. Let's go. So Bloody Mike Watt of the Minutemen and Firehose and just general all-round amazing dude. I saw Mike Watt play, I guess, 6-7 years ago, upstairs at the Prince Albert, which is this 100-cap venue in Brighton. And he just talked to everyone. He's just one of the nicest people that I've ever seen perform, and clearly absolutely loves it. You know, he's been doing it. The Minutemen broke up before I was born. I think it's incredible that he's a part of kind of punk rock history, and then clearly had the time of his life playing in the Stooges, who are a band who really inspired the Minutemen. So it's,
One band, I don't know, Jay, if you actually listen to this, but if you haven't listened to it yet, you definitely should, because it was one of my favourite records when it came out. Big Walnut Yonder, which is Mike Watt, Nils Klein, Greg Saunier from Deerhoof, and Nick Reinhardt from Telomeros.
Yeah. Oh, right, okay. Yeah,
one record. It's a bonk, absolutely bonkers record.
It's an exercise in insanity.
I did ask Nick when he was over in the UK a couple of years ago. I was like, are you ever gonna tour? And he was like, I'd love to, but I think just trying to nail down the rest of the people
in
that band.
What is just like, he's just busy all the time. Like, I read an interview with him where he's just like, yeah, I just love playing bass, man. I just love playing bass. If anyone's like, oh, do you want to play my band, he's just like, yeah, let's go. Like, I'm not up to anything. let's just do it. Like, sorry to hijack this news story about Reverend, but just one final thing on Mike Watt and the Minutemen, which was his band in the early 80s. If you get a chance, you should read a book called Our Band Could Be Your Life, which is a snapshot of the early to mid 80s and bands who were popular in kind of, I guess, what we would now call post-hardcore, but like punk and post-hardcore, but you know, at the time was very much just kind of like alternate rock. So there's like a chapter on REM, there's a chapter on Minor Threat and Fugazi and Black Flag, and the chapter on the Minutemen is so interesting, and it's so sad because Dee Boone, who was a guitar player of that band, he tragically died in age 27, part of the club, and just the story about that band and their kind of dedication to DIY, you know, doing everything themselves, is really, really amazing. And that book is fantastic. And Our Band Could Be Your Life is actually a lyric from a Minutemen song. And it really is just like, look, and I feel about this, I feel like they do about being in a band like I do about doing this podcast. And it's like, literally anyone can do this. There are no barriers to doing this. Our Band Could Be Your Life, like, if you want to be in a band, just go and do a band. Like, nobody cares what you do. Go and do it properly. And that's how I feel about this podcast as well, is like, if you want to do it, just go and do it.
There's no expertise involved.
Totally. And well, I mean, you know, there's the basics as there are in anything, but Minutemen, amazing. Mike Watt, amazing. The Stooges, like, I started listening to Raw Power recently. It was only a record that the band kind of passed me by, being like a proto punk band as opposed to being like a punk band. I never really listened to them when I was growing up, but I listened to Raw Power a couple of times recently, and it's a really, really rocking record. And Iggy obviously has become this legendary figure. And quite rightly, you know, it's a total banger.
Yeah, they're definitely a band that I need to give more time, actually. So, yes, thank you, Jay. You've encouraged me to do that.
You're welcome.
There you go. Well, anyway, we are drawing to the end of this week's free episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. And you can, of course, listen to an entire extra episode of Guitar Nerds every week over on our Patreon site, patreon.com/guitar nerds. You can also find that in the description of this podcast. This week, our Patreon episode will be returning to our original format, Patreon special episodes, and we'll be taking questions from the Facebook group, the three of us will be answering. Now, to become a Patreon supporter, it costs only $1 a month, and you can enjoy the podcast ad-free and early every week. At the $5 tier, you can enjoy an entire extra episode every week, plus access to our entire back catalogue of mini-series like Question Hole or Bar Chords, the Friday specials, the original Friday specials, and At the $10 tier, you can become an executive producer and enjoy all those benefits, plus the prestigious honor of having your name featured in our podcast outro song. Yes, you can follow us on all the major social platforms with @GuitarNerds, and you can join us on Facebook with at facebook.com/groups/GuitarNerdsForum. Thanks very much for tuning in, and we'll be back next week with more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Cheers, gang.
Bye. Ty Allen and Yogi the guitarist, Moby and Modius, Cloud Nifter and Todd Simon, Fritz Questrell, Joe Hubbard, George Hughes, Michael Howe, Brian Hansen, Shane M, Jeffrey Wax and Eric Emmer, Samuel Frost and Brian Einzer, Gavin Van der Linden, Jacob McGee and Scott Harding, Simon Milborn, Martin Salcott, Wacky Stewart, Robson, Neil Milton, Christy Imlan, Hansen, Keith Adams and Eric Frow. Like guitarists, Rob Nordwick, Steve Merkel, J.D. Short, Robin Smith, and Brad Page. And-